take a look at a portion of scripture here that God took me to. By the way, I'm glad to be back. Actually came to church last Sunday away from here, like some of you are doing at home. But I missed Mother's Day, but had a good time with my family. And thank you for your prayers. You won't mind if I just showed a little video clip of Lukey, my grandson. Lukey is our only grandson at the moment, although it's okay to announce, I believe now, that our daughter Amy is with child again. So we have a little girl on the way, and so I hope I was okay to say that. Give me my screen here, guys, and I'm going to show you what we were doing last week. Just a little clip. I was playing with my grandson in the waves. He was catching the waves at the beach for the first time. I watched it. Yeah, that's a little loopy. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. That's me hollering in the background there. Never experienced waves before. He's brave. Only 2 years old. So he was knocking him down. He was sitting down, I think. He says that more than anything. Papa. Here we go. Here we go. He starts saying whoa now, too. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Hey, Wednesday night, I gave a message under this title, Live Creatively. I was inspired by, we covered 10 verses in Galatians, but in the Message Bible, it starts out saying, Live Creatively, friends. I was talking about how our faith in God gives us the ability to exercise creativity. You know, the God that lives in you is creative. God is creative. And I said that you won't be happy just doing mundane things and routine things with your life every day, but if you can scratch that creative itch in you, that's when you get happy. Now, faith is creative. Faith allows you to look beyond what you can see with your natural eyes and see what God sees, having God's perspective on things. It's creative. And so I want you to say with me, I am creative. That's right. You have the ability to create like your Heavenly Father, the creative God. Well, that's not my message today, but I wanted to bring this because all year I've been feeling that in my spirit, you know, that the people of God are going to emerge on this planet as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, as we just begin to act more creatively in this world. You know, this picture here, they're called Edison lights. This is kind of a throwback. All of a sudden, they're popular. These lights, you can actually see the filament. But they're named after Thomas Edison. And I was remembering when I saw these start going up in our house, my wife is using some Edison lights these days, that they're named after Thomas Edison. History tells us that he failed 1,000 times before he discovered how to invent the light bulb. And some reporter asked him one time, this is in history, says, how does it feel to have failed 1,000 times before you created something? And Edison said, oh, I didn't fail 1,000 times. It took over 1,000 steps to create the light bulb. I want you to think about that. When you're feeling like you have failed or you stumbled along the path of your life somewhere, sometimes it just takes a lot of that to get you where God wants you to go. Amen, somebody? And so don't ever let the devil beat you up on that. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. And I want to talk about Zacchaeus. Somebody say that. Zacchaeus. What a name. Wow. With a name like that. Well, every time I say Zacchaeus, I think about that little Sunday school song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Something like that. But anyway, what's that sound over here? I think you've got to do something with the earphone that's in the jib, somebody. Go unplug it. Deal with that. I'm hearing distracted sounds out of here. Hallelujah. I'm talking over, but some of you over here might be distracted by that. So I looked at this story. Again, I'm just going to read it to you. And then I'm usually referring to this story in the context of the fact that God is no respecter of persons. We know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was probably a thief. Everybody had determined that about him. But God gave me a different perspective on this because, and here's what I want you to get. I believe we're living the day right now where we as the people of God have the opportunity to rise above the fray in this world and to connect with the God who wants to reach this world. I mean, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, it says, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon us. So we have to learn how to rise, how to step up. Is that ringing to you? Okay, turn me down a little bit. I'm talking loud here today. I talk loud when I get passionate. Here we go. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. That's important. You know, sometimes Jesus is passing through a service. And depending on how you reach out to receive is whether or not you'll receive from him. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree, to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Look at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's going to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Hallelujah. I'm inspired by this today, not just because God can reach anybody, but because I believe that we have the opportunity, like Zacchaeus, to do something. We don't have to climb a tree, but we might have to do something that takes effort. You might have to do something that takes effort to move you out of a place where you're at. Zacchaeus, it's amazing that his name in the Greek, it actually means pure, innocent, righteous. You know, a lot of times you don't realize that when God birthed you in this earth, he had an intention for you. It wasn't an intention for you to fail. It was an intention for you to succeed, for you to be a blessing, for you to carry out the purpose of God. Zacchaeus had a purpose of God upon his life, But he was judged negatively. He was defined negatively by the people around him. He was isolated, probably unlike what we would call today, canceled by society. Yet he arose from the crowd and was called out by God. Isn't that what we all want? You know, the enemy will do everything that he can to keep us focused on all the distractions, like that little sound coming out of that camera, like the things that have happened already this morning, backstage, you know, before the service starts. These distractions, what do we do to move into the presence and the purpose of God? I mean, just coming to church today has helped you connect to the God of all creation who wants to lead and guide your life. Listen, you were conceived by God for such a time as this. Denny, you were conceived of God for this time. God has a realm of influence for you in this world today. The enemy will do everything he can to try to take you out and keep you away from the mighty power of God. Let me show you just a few things of what I believe Zacchaeus did. First of all, he saw a season of opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that in general, as a church, as bad as the world might seem, we are in a season of opportunity. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." I believe, and I've been saying this and preaching this, I preached this Wednesday night, that the season between sowing and reaping is getting shorter and shorter. The Bible says this would happen in the last days, that the plowman would catch up with the reaper. Now, I used to say seed time and harvest. There's a lot of time between seed and harvest, but it's getting shorter. I mean, when you give to God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that which he also he will reap. It's happening faster. I'm getting more testimonies that way. And we talk about sowing and reaping. We often talk about, we're always thinking about offerings. I'm talking about anything that you give. When you give to others, that you know, you minister peace, you minister hope, you minister forgiveness, understanding to somebody. You're going to get that back quickly. But with regard to offerings, I've heard this from people. They give an offering, maybe a big offering in service, and before they get to their car, you know, the phone rings and there's a new contract or somebody hands them something. I want to see the harvest coming more quickly to people in this last day. And I believe that we're there. But I want to show you, I'm going to remind you of a lot of other situations in the Bible that somebody had to see a season. And they literally, it was kind of a defining moment. I believe that there's an opportunity for a defining moment in each of our lives. You know, this week, one of the things that we did when we were away is we went to my son Michael's graduation. He graduated from the University of Central Florida. We're real proud of him. He's been working on it for a lot of years. And but I remember when he was growing up, he was a hockey player. Now, he didn't get that ice hockey scholarship living in Florida. They're not scouting hockey players in Florida very often. But I remember a defining moment. I started him playing hockey at 5 years old or rollerblading and then on the ice. But he was about 7 years old in a playoff game. It was a big one. It all came down to this game. And at 7 years old, he was a good little player. And I'll never forget when this playoff game came to a tie and then they had to come to a shootout. If you know hockey, you know what a shootout is. And the coach picks some of the top players to go one-on-one with the goalie. And Michael was chosen to be the first one out on the ice. And here's this little guy, you know, out there on this big, empty ice rink. And Dad in the stands, you know, my heart pounding. You know, I was nervous for him. And he got that puck and just without hesitation skated back and forth against that one-on-one with that goalie, and bam, knocked it in there. Hallelujah. I mean, the crowds, the stands went wild, you know, and it gave the inspiration to all the other players, and they ended up winning that game. That was a moment. That was a season of opportunity. I believe God brings that place to us at various times in our life, and we're there now. Remember when Peter walked on the water? He was in the middle of a storm. What was it that caused Peter to say, "Lord, bid me to come out on the water"? And Jesus just gave one instruction, come. And Peter walked on the water. He saw this season of opportunity. The Hebrew boys, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. You know, it was a season of opportunity. I mean, they went from being thrown in the fire to being promoted by the king because of that defining moment. In Daniel 6:16, Daniel in the lion's den. It seemed bad. Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. But what happened? God saw him through, and he got promoted also in the kingdom. I'm just running through some of these examples that you're familiar with. David, when he defeated Goliath. I mean, he could have been killed. What a crisis moment for the whole nation. But David, he had the eyes to see that there was a spiritual battle going on here. David wasn't trained to kill giants. He didn't have a sword or a spear. He had a slingshot. It doesn't make any earthly sense. But creatively living and creatively thinking, he knew he had a big God. And that somehow, some way, God was going to see him through. I look at this in the context of Zacchaeus because, church, we've got to come to a place in our lives that we will not allow our circumstances, our fears, the pandemic, other people's opinions of us. We don't allow anything to define us but God. Somebody say, but God. I love it when I get to counsel times and people come to me and they pour out all the junk that they're going through. And I get the opportunity to say, but God. But God. But Pastor, you just don't understand. This is a terrible situation. Say, but God. But God. Now, I don't know how God's going to do it. Because God's ways are not man's ways. You know, I'm troubled when people are given their heavenly reward young in life, you know, because we think people ought to live a long life. I'm troubled by that. But God knows. I think that I just want us to understand that no matter how troubled the world looks right now, God's at work doing something, folks. God's at work. And we need to live above the fray. Zacchaeus, he had to do something. He climbed a tree to get beyond his obstacles and his limitations. We might have to do something that's difficult. In fact, I believe that faith requires us to do what we know to do. And when we do, I mean, we literally start living in the presence of God. I was this week, you know, just like I mentioned this Wednesday night, was following up with Carolyn Hinton, you know, after the loss of her husband, Daniel. It was a loss to all of us and a surprise. But I tell you what, when you talk to Carolyn, don't expect to find a grieving widow. I mean, she will build you up. You know why? Because she's looking beyond that. She's climbed a tree. She's looking to the next season for her life. She's looking to see what God has in mind. I love that. We all need to understand that this is what God intends for us. When you've got God the Creator living inside of you, you've got everything that you need. The enemy is going to try to get us to live by what we can see with our natural eyes. But God's given us eyes to see beyond that. God's got a plan. So Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. I'm reminded of another story when Jesus multiplied the little boy's lunch to feed the 5,000. It might have been 15,000. That was 5,000 men. It was interesting that to perform that miracle, Jesus said to his disciples, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Well, probably jokingly, well, a little boy here's got a little lunch. That's all we have." But Jesus is asking all of us to use what we have. Do something with what we have. Start where we are. Put something in his hands to multiply. God is a multiplier. And so Zacchaeus, he had to do something. It wasn't kosher for a Jewish man in those days to climb a tree. And I tell you, it isn't easy for an adult to climb a tree. When I was little, I loved climbing trees. Back at our Christian retreat at Strawberry Lake in Minnesota, there was a lot of trees up in Minnesota. And my parents would have been very concerned if they knew some of the tree houses that me and my brother had built deep into the woods. Joanne, it was real sketchy, I'm telling you. We had pulleys up there with buckets to bring tools up there, and we're hammering, you know, 30, 40 feet off the ground on limbs. So we didn't know that there was that possibility of falling and getting hurt. As an adult, now today, I'm very careful. I stopped walking around on my roof and blowing out my gutters. Yeah, I send my son up there now. Maybe younger, more solid on his feet. Just not going to take those chances. But Zacchaeus, he saw the obstacles he was facing. He did something that he knew to do, even though he would have been criticized for it. I mean, hadn't Jesus, if he hadn't stopped, he still would have been criticized. What's he doing climbing a tree? Sometimes you got to do something. It shows just how desperate you are. And I tell you what, it shows God. I've said this before. If you do nothing, you can never be wrong. But you can never be right either. As people of God, people of faith, we need to be willing to take some chances and get our faith out there. Overcome our fears, overcome our lack, and don't let the world around us define us. I see another story in Mark chapter 2 where some friends of a paralyzed man were trying to get the man to Jesus. Remember that Jesus was in a house, it was so packed out he couldn't get through the door, couldn't get him in there. What did they do? They went on the roof and tore the roof apart and lowered him. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. They tore the roof apart to get to Jesus. The woman bleeding for 12 years, the Bible calls it the woman with the issue of blood. It specifically says she had to press her way through the crowd, probably on her hands and knees, trying to reach the hem of his garment. And when she touched Jesus, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She just touched his garment. He knew somebody had touched him with their faith, because they had exerted some effort to overcome the obstacles and get to him. The blind man in Luke 18. When Jesus was passing by, he cried out. And the people around him said, "Be quiet. He's already passed. You don't count. You know, it's not going to happen for you today." But the Bible specifically says, he cried out all the more. Woo! I tell you what, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm telling you today, get over yourself. Get over whatever others have defined you, whatever doctor's diagnosis you have. Forget about it. Anybody here from New Jersey? There's Jesse back there. Forget about it. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can even think or ask. Ephesians 3:20, because of the power that's at work in us. I like to say, I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. But I can lead them to the Savior, to the healer. You've got the Savior and the healer in here. but it works by an exercise of faith that requires us to do something in our own strength first. Well, if God wants to do it, he can just do it. Well, God's hands are kind of tied until he sees an exercise of faith. Then he goes, oh, I see somebody that's accessing that key to the kingdom, that principle of my word. The church, that's where we're at right now. The world is trying to define us. The world is trying to cancel us. But look out, world, because we've got the power of God inside of us. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm living. You know what? I'm living in more joy because of that. I'm watching less news because of that. Anybody out there? You know what I mean? I don't want that news to hammer me down. That's just CNN, just saying. Sometimes it gets me so upset, I just turn it off. I can't hear that. That's such a wrong perspective. It bothers me about what's going on in Israel right now, to where they're calling Israel the perpetrators, the terrorists. What? You're talking about after 1,000 rockets have already been lobbed into Israel first, that somehow they are the perpetrators? You know, and it bothers me. But we have to do something. I'm asking you, what are you doing right now? What are you doing differently? Here's where I want to close. Zacchaeus, his effort exercised faith. Faith without works, without action, is dead. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. And Jesus required this so many times. Remember when he was passing by, there were 10 lepers. And lepers stayed away from people, so they had to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus answered back, probably from a distance, go show yourself to the priest. What? We're not allowed to do that. But you know what they did? They decided to just obey. And the Bible says, as they went, they had to start out. So many times we miss that defining moment in our lives because we just say, oh, that can't be God. That can't happen for me. You know, I don't understand it with my thinking. Instead of just stepping out and doing something different to bring about a different result. I'm preaching better than you're responding this morning. Maybe you're just really, really soaking it in.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about this because I see it working. We've come through a pandemic stronger than we were a year ago. Stronger. I not only want to give the Lord glory for that, but I want to build you up and say, I want you to be a part of that. Jesus in John chapter 9 saw the blind man. What did he do? He spits on the ground, Jesus does, makes mud, puts it in his eyes, and says, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, that was about 2 miles away. He had to go and think about what had just happened. I mean, if somebody, anybody, would spit on the ground, make mud, and put it in your eyes, that's not nice. But you know what happened? He came back seeing. In Luke 18, the widow's persistent faith. You know, and Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find persistent faith on the earth today? So, I'll close on the verse that I read out of Luke 19:9. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save him who is lost. Folks, I believe that we need a Savior, not just for salvation, but we need a Savior to save us from our fears, from the limitations that we put on ourselves. And that's what I'm talking about today. I want to believe that everybody here in the house, has received your salvation, which it comes with no works. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all for your salvation. But we need to be saved from the limitations that this world is trying to put on us. So thank God that we're losing our mask and we're coming out. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want us to come out beyond what the CDC and the government thinks is happening. We're coming out as a church stronger than ever. Amen. Bolder than ever. Hallelujah. And today, I want to close here with this, but I'm going to stand. And I want to close by inviting some of you today to come down to the front for an anointing. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. If you're in a place where you need to climb a tree, you need to see beyond some situation that's in your life, I just want to give you the opportunity to capture this season with a divine moment. I'm going to stand in the